That's Jango Fett signing off with a little Georgia.
Welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're so glad that you've tuned into this episode. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. I'm your host for this particular podcast episode. It's Riley Blanton. Hey, hope you're doing all right. Boy, do we have a great show lined up for you today. It's two things today. Two things on the old agenda for this podcast. It is your emails, your feedback. You guys are the lifeblood of this podcast, and we're here to, in the words of the great commander of the Starship Enterprise, make it so. So it's all feedback for the first half, and for the second half of the episode, we're going to welcome Bobby Roberts to the episode of the Full of Sith fame, and he's going to talk about Star Wars spoilers. But enough about what's coming up on the show. Let's bring in the folks who are going to make this the entertaining hour of Star Wars geekdom that it will be. Let's start with my sister. It's Bethany Blanton, everybody. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for welcoming me, and I am glad to be back. I'm excited to be finally getting to a lot of this feedback that we've had.
Yes.
And also discussing a very interesting rumor that I will admit made my mouth drop open when Riley told me about it.
By the way, purely of your own consent in terms of telling you about the... I want to clarify, I didn't walk up to Bethany and say, hey, did you hear this rumor? Spoiler! And then just, like, spoil it all. But no, we'll be talking about that later in the show. Hey, let's also bring him in. It's Mr. Mark Herleman. Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Hey, me and Whistler are sitting here just chilling, glad to be back. Yeah, that same thing, it made me swear in my mind immediately as soon as I saw it. And yeah, couldn't stop. But to be truthful, Riley, it was like, you're kind of like, you know, did you hear about it? Did you check it out later? Did you hear about it yet? Like, I got the impression that I needed to know this.
I didn't mean to pressure you too much, but I do understand if I did maybe a little bit, because if it's true, it's big news, but I don't want to be too much of a tease. If you like Star Wars spoilers, which there's a good chance that the majority of the folks listening to the Star Wars Report podcast, then you're in a treat. You're in for a treat. So it's gonna be a good time. And we'll be doing that in the second half of the show. But before we get there, we're gonna be doing feedback. But I'll tell you what. Before we do that, how's it going? It's been a while since it's been just the three of us all hanging out together.
You know, I've been doing the scouting thing. That's why I wasn't here last week. We went up to the Oregon caves and stuff. We got our haunted house going. So there may be some weekends that I may not be on again. I know I give a little tongue in cheek about the aspect that I'm hardly ever on the show anymore. Sucks. I love being here. I love discussing all the awesome news and gossip and emails and all the fun that we do. So it's very nice to be back and sitting in the seat and doing some Star Wars Report again.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be back in the saddle with things a little bit more... a little bit more regular, because we had intentions kind of earlier in the semester to get this show weekly and live, which, by the way, is what we're doing kind of as a test run. It's kind of an inaugural experiment, but we're returning to our live format. Right now, it's Friday, October 3rd in the evening. We've got some awesome folks joining us in the chat at Mixlr. I'm just using my personal account for now. We'll probably upgrade it to like a fancy-dancy Star Wars Report account that you can like. I'll probably set up the URL starwarsreport.com/live, and that'll be
it.
Like,
should be Dancing Bothans,
yeah,
or maybe Stormtroopers.
No, exactly. Well, yeah. So we've got kind of the live show set up, and I want to make this a tradition of doing the show live every Friday night at 8 p.m. So we are doing it here, and I'm going to go ahead and say come back next week if you're listening to the podcast version, and of course, follow us at Star Wars Report on Twitter and Star Wars Report on Facebook to get those notifications of when we go live. But yeah, so there's that. There's kind of the evolution of the show as we stand.
Yeah, now. And I'm definitely excited to be coming back to regularly recording and going live. It's been an interesting semester because...
It's been an interesting week in the semester.
Yes, exactly. But we started this semester off pretty well, but then we had Dragon Con very early in, and then we had so much Dragon Con coverage that it was just processing a ton of written content, a ton of audio content, and then getting all that out there and then catching up on homework that we did not do while at Dragon Con. And So that was interesting, but rough semester. And then actually recently, our mixer broke.
It was so sad.
It was sad.
Yeah. And quick plug.
Like we'd had that mixer for a long time, and we had replaced an old mixer of ours with it. And just FYI, if you guys are podcasters who are listening, or if you want to become podcasters, just realize and be resigned to the fact that your mixer will break during an episode at the worst time possible.
We've gone through a few of those. Hey. Oh, remember the one you guys sent me that one year and it was broke right out of the gate? I'm like, oh no!
I know.
I think we got one use out of it.
Yeah, like it was working perfectly one time. Well, anyway, that is the life of a podcaster.
I'm glad you said that, Bethany, because it reminds me that we have the, we're recently guests on the Full of Sith podcast. And like I mentioned, Bobby Roberts coming up later in the show. But we, this past week's episode, if you're listening to this, it'll be the most recent episode or two of Full of Sith. And it's just titled The Full of Sith. And it's just, it says Star Wars Report right there. And you can actually listen to Bethany and I talk about Spark of Rebellion, which we won't talk about here in this episode. We'll probably save that for next week. Because I know right now as we record this, it's airing on air proper in just about an hour. So.
Or if you still have that XD Play that app like I do, you're watching it in the background.
Or like I said, on the Full Sith podcast, if you have a very good friend who has the Disney XD access. So
Yeah,
it's anyway, it's been an interesting time. It's kind of the time to settle back. It's just us three, no huge agenda. It's just us and the listeners and the folks joining us live. So for the folks in the chat, we do welcome you to the program and are glad that you've joined us. But let's go ahead and
I do have to ask you one question from the chat.
Okay.
They want to know if we would consider doing a live call-in show at some point.
Yes, for sure. If there's the interest in folks who want to call in, I mean, that'd be awesome. I don't think anyone's really doing that. That would be a really fun way to do like a weekly call-in or maybe a monthly call-in or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah. You know, and also for you listeners out there, what you may not know is while Riley's having these great little monologues and stuff, me and Bethany are actually engaging the chat. So, you know, you may not hear about it, but there's actually conversations going on in the background of the show as well. So another reason to come on and get in here.
Indeed.
Yeah. See, Riley is keeping up with the chat, but he has to monitor the soundboard and monitor
and just like
the
that,
equipment
I killed it.
And monitor
I killed
the
it all.
Mixer. So that's kind of Riley's job, which kind of leaves me and Mark the freedom to have these side conversations in the chat, which is a lot of fun because talking with you guys is a lot of fun. I mean, hey, I'm a podcaster. That's what we do. Chat, right?
Indeed, for sure. Well, let's go ahead and...
Riley is laughing his face off at me
I know
now.
I'm not.
You were, too.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Who,
so
me?
We also got...
Who, me?
We also got new mic stands so that...
Oh, yeah, you know, the springy
we're not
ones.
Trying, we're not trying to hold microphones while typing and doing show notes and chatting with listeners and stuff. And I've never used this before, so
indeed.
I was sitting here trying to set it up and I dropped the mic on my face, and which is I don't know how I managed that, but I did.
I saw the picture of that stand. It looks very similar to the one that I made. I gotta ask you, do you guys have the arm above your head with the microphone down, or do you have it down below your chin with the microphone up?
Below the chin.
I'm the same way. I don't know. I had it the other way, but I like this setup more. I can kind of get really sexy with it and feel Lando Calrissian style with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna send a message to Bobby Roberts shortly, but we'll tell you what, we'll be a slight delay, but let's go ahead and hit up an email. Mark, do you want to take the first one here from Jake? Maybe hit some highlights of it or hit the general gist, and then we'll get that rolling.
Let me drop the chat page because I got that up and I'm not paying attention to which page I'm on.
This is the perils of the live show
format. It is the first one on top, right? You got this in order?
Indeed. Yeah, that first email's from Jake, from who I, by the way, saw again this year at Dragon Con, by the way. It was great to see.
Yeah,
all right,
he's a good guy.
Hi, Riley, Bethany, and Mark. Thought of this today and thought it would make for some interesting conversation and would love to hear your thoughts on this. We're going to talk about it on our show when we record tonight, and I'll admit I haven't listened to Star Wars Report 136 yet, so forgive me if you've already thought of this. With the rumor of John Boyega's character being an ace pilot for the bad guys, Imperial Remnant, anyone? that gets shot down over Tatooine, who is then saved and rescued by Daisy Ridley's character and then defects over to Daisy Ridley's side, the good guys, Galactic Alliance. It reminds me of an EU story, of which I'm sure Mark would love to see happen. The rumor continues to say that there is a budding romance that could hint to a future relationship between these two characters. I think it's a pretty common assumption that Daisy is also playing Jaina Solo, or at least a Jaina-esque character. I personally have Oscar Isaac pegged for a Jason or Jason-esque character, but I couldn't figure out who John Boyega was going to play. Perhaps a new Jedi or something like that. But we do know that from the EU/Legends that Jagged Fell was an ace pilot who would later go on to become the head of state of the Imperial Remnant and eventually on to marry Jaina Solo. So with a little rewriting and race changing, JJ and crew could be borrowing that particular character from the EU and incorporating it into a sequel trilogy. Personally, I love the idea of bringing Jag into the trilogy and statement that having a politically interracial relationship could do for the community. It's a message of equality and understanding all wrapped up in a nice little package and giving the EU fans something to squee about as well. So, do you think John's going to be playing Jagged Fell? All the best.
I think, it's because the rumors have been that, and we'll stay somewhat spoiler free in terms of potential, but there are a few rumors here in my answer, and that I think John Boyega is on the Imperial side of some sort, but also a lot that he might team up with Daisy Ridley's character. So I could see that. I could definitely see it's probably not as direct, Jake, as you put it, but I can see maybe some homages maybe in terms of style. And who knows if there might be a romantic interest as well. I'm not sure, but I could definitely see a few nods to the expanded universe.
And Jake's universe. Also from the Fools That Follow podcast.
Indeed.
A great show as well. Yeah. You know, for me, I some of the different EU stories that I've heard of and read and stuff, I think of the one with the young Jedi Knights or junior Jedi Knights, the one with Jason and Jaina when Coral had crash landed on the planet. But there was no romantic in that regard. So seeing kind of a Jag, you know, style of things, because I admit when Jag came around, there was this whole shipping war between Jag and Zik and I don't know. I like Jag and I love Zek, but I really like Jag's character. So it'd be kind of cool to see something similar. Although at this point, I'm kind of looking at what may come over from the EU, from Legends into canon, as kind of what Lucas himself was doing when we saw things on the Clone Wars. I mean, we saw the Dathomir witches, but they weren't exactly the Dathomir witches that EU fans remembered. So I kind of see a lot of similarities like that going forward. So, I mean, there is a lot of possibilities about Imperial Remnant, Galactic Alliance, things like that, that I do kind of think might happen.
Indeed. It's a good point, yeah.
But I kind of don't think that they will use the name Jagged Fell. He's a character in the expanded universe that I think worked really well, Legends, that I think worked really well in the novels that he was in, but I don't really think they would recycle an Imperial character like that. But the thing is, I'm not actually sure why I think that. It's a feeling that if I were the director, which obviously I'm not, or the story writer, then I would not want to recycle a character that was not as much of a main character.
Yeah, indeed. Good points all around. Let's jump to the next email. Let's see. This one comes from Matt Marks. Bethany, you want to take this one? Number two.
This is from Matt Marks. Hey, guys. I'm still working on my way through the old episodes. I'm on your Lost Missions trailer reaction episode right now, and it's interesting to hear the speculation. Your past selves aren't too excited about the Clovis arc, which ended up being really good, in my opinion, and you can't seem to figure out what will happen in the Yoda arc. Heck, I still can't quite figure out what happened. And you have no idea that there will be a Mace and Jar Jar and the Temple of Doom two-parter, which also ends up being amazing. I should be caught up by the end of the week. May the force be with you, Matt.
Good point. Good points from Matt Marks. It is kind of fun to go back and listen to the old episodes of speculation. I'm sure, like, once episode 7 comes out, that'll be a blast to actually go back and hear some of these crazy rumors, like we're going to be doing in a few minutes here. But this second one also comes from Matt Marks. He says, this is a very timely email. I just listened to your Bobby Roberts episode and didn't realize until the very end when he plugged it that his Geeked Remix site that he is indeed Fat Boy Roberts. He loves those remixes. And also he liked the Twitter trivia. We should have prepared that again, but we'll do that again sometime. But he also listened to our most recent Father Roderick episode. It says, crazy that you two do podcasts together, us and Father Roderick, because I came across the two of you completely independently. I found Father Roderick looking for Hobbit podcasts And I found you guys from listening to the Wampus Lair, which I found after listening to Quiz, which I found after listening to Geek Out Loud, which he found out from Rebel Force Radio. So it's all circular, and hey, it all worked out. And if you guys like Hobbit stuff, it's Secrets of the Hobbit podcast that we do with Father Roderick. Good times all round. Now, this is a really good email I want to feature next. This is from David Motters. He's a PhD, ladies and gentlemen. This is from our Andrea Letamendi episode that we did not too long ago. And again, one of my favorites, and we got some great feedback from it as well.
Yeah,
so.
We sure could have delved way more into really in-depth character discussion with Andrea, just because it was so fascinating to talk with her about Star Wars characters.
Indeed.
But the point of that was more of a general interview type episode, and we'll definitely get her back on at some point to talk more in depth about characters.
Indeed, yes. But I'll tell you what, for this, Mark, do you want to take this one, kind of keep going around the circle?
I'll let you hit it. You seem to be doing a pretty good job of summarizing them.
Okay. Yeah, no, we're jumping through these pretty quick, but I don't want to leave any email no stone unturned on the Star Wars Report email inbox. Let's do this one. Hey, Riley and Bethany, I decided to email because this would be too much to tweet. Fair point. Actually, in fact, I encourage many of you guys to shoot us emails because that's the most fun way to do it, because you can actually have time to respond to them. So I briefly updated you back in May because I heard you and Bethany were headed to Star Wars Weekends. I was hoping that I could meet up with you, but unfortunately, due to kind of converging weeks, it was not possible. However, back to the email, he said, in the meantime, I listened to your coverage of Celebration 6, which I knew you guys back then, and that you were at the Mark Hamill event. I was there as well, videotaping the whole thing. And your show with Steve Glosson on episode 3, which he loved, the Millennium Falcon landing on Coruscant bit. He hadn't heard that before. But of course, our interview with David Collins, which, by the way, is one of my favorite interviews of all time. But he goes on to say, perhaps my favorite show of all the most recent ones is the Dr. Andrea Letamendi, episode 142, on the psychology of Star Wars. As a lifelong fan and clinical psychologist here in Ocala, Florida, that show was awesome. And you said at the end that you really need to get her on again in the future. I hope your panels went well at Dragon Con. I will be listening. Well, David, they did go well. And thanks for the feedback. It was a great episode, and I'd love to do that. Maybe we'll have to talk to her and maybe set up something in the future for further discussions.
Yeah, I remember the guys at Roku Depot do these podcast recaps, and they had kind of reviewed that as they were sad with that episode because they wanted us to talk to her more. And so that was kind of funny to me.
Yeah, podcast and review.
Indeed. We'll do well. I think, put it this way, I don't think you've heard the last of Dr. Andrea Letamendi on the Star Wars Report podcast. Hopefully not. Not if it is within. Not if anything to say about it. I have. Oh man, Bethany, you want to hit this email from Bruce?
Sure thing. And Bruce, you're actually in the chat right now.
What's up?
Hey there. Glad you could swing
by. It's like
by.
Actual, yeah.
I know.
We just have him call in.
Yeah. But Bruce says, hi, Riley and Bethany. Thanks for recording the episode 7 panel and playing it on the podcast. And that would be the panel from Dragon Con. Since I didn't get in to the panel, this was the next best thing. Riley, I'm glad you're enjoying the Star Wars Insider back issues. Mm. Looking at those issues, it seems like we were getting more news from the set of episode 1 than we are getting today from episode 7. I think I remember Ahmed Best doing behind-the-scenes web videos on location for Episode 2. Do you want to see more behind-the-scenes content from Episode 7 as it's being filmed? Great seeing you two at Dragon Con, and awesome job on the panels. Bruce.
Oh, thank you, Bruce. We do appreciate. Man, I'll tell you what, Dragon Con was a blast. And speaking, because a lot of this feedback desk is kind of the fallout from Dragon Con, and I'll feature this one last email. This is from a longtime listener and good friend of the show, that we met at Dragon Con a couple years ago when we were first starting out. It's Michael Faulkner. He said, Riley and Bethany, sorry I missed you guys at the con this year. I aimed for the episode 7 panel, but as you know, the panel was closed at capacity. Impressive. Most impressive. If you do a lot, and I mentioned this in the show, and that's why I wanted to feature the email, just kind of keep it top of mind for conversation. If you do the Star Wars Report live at Dragon Con 2015, and there's room available, I can help. Also, as if you need a roving microphone or anything for our panels, he mentioned offering help there as well. Michael, I just wanted to feature that because that was so cool of him to offer, and I do want to mention that I'll tell you what, that kind of idea of doing a live podcast from one of the stages at Dragon Con just kind of is planted in the back of my mind as something that, man, that would be so cool to do. Especially if we could get like some special guests and stuff from Dragon Con. So
yeah, definitely.
We'll see if we can put it together.
Both Michael and Bruce mentioned the panel being full at capacity. They had to turn away several hundred people from that. So
yeah.
I really hope that next year's Dragon Con, they'll give us a bigger room for the Episode 7 panel because of that.
It'll be
and
huge,
I did want to mention,
no,
Bruce mentioned those back issues of The Insider, which he actually gave to Riley.
Yes,
as I
mentioned, yeah, it was amazing.
I know we mentioned it on a past episode, but I just thought that was really cool of Bruce, really awesome of him, and thanks for being an awesome friend.
Yeah, no, and as Bruce just now said in the chat, to kind of in addition to the comments, he just wants a little bit more kind of ongoing behind the scenes of Episode 7 during the production, which, as again,
yeah,
we've said this before, Peter Jackson set the template for that with the Hobbit films.
Yep.
See, and I'm opposite, though. I kind of dragging my feet with it. I wish they'd save it all for the DVDs and stuff so I could watch it.
No.
Yeah, I mean, we're worried about spoilings, you know, and spoilers and all this kind of stuff. And I would think that just would invite more of it. But Bruce, I mean, you mentioned that you were, you know, there while that was going on. I did not really get internet at home until after the prequel trilogy had came and went. So I wasn't online part of the fandom in that regard at that time. So maybe that's also why. I mean, I know when I went to Disneyland the first time, I was like, Disneyland. I come back going, oh my God, it was so cool. Well, let's go back. So that could just be my ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, fair enough.
I do want to say the Peter Jackson videos, I don't really think that he spoiled anything particularly.
No,
especially
Jackson
no plot thing. So
although it is a different animal.
I would love to see something like that. But yeah, it's a different kind of a story, a different flavor,
and,
if you will.
And honestly, Peter Jackson's Hobbit films are kind of what convinced me to take the approach that I am taking now with Star Wars Episode 7. Because it's one of those things where you have to make that decision at some point. Do you wait around in the shallow end, or do you eventually just decide that, no, it's time to embrace the panic and jump into the deep end? To jump in all at once into the freezing cold water? No tiptoeing? And and here to help us do that, it's Bobby Roberts, everybody.
Hi there. So have we sort of step by step, moment by moment, broken down how you aim to make that decision?
No, and in fact, Bobby, I think the best way to do this is that, like, literally this is Riley thinking to himself, man, there's so many swirling rumors and there's so much insanity, it's hard to wrap your brain around. You know who could really just break this down in a relatable and understandable way? It's Mr. Bobby Roberts. And I kind of mentioned Peter Jackson. I want to draw that comparison real quick. By the way, welcome to the show, FullOfSithPodcast.com. FullOfSith.com. Bobby does an amazing job. If you guys don't, your last episode, we got so many emails from, some of which we were just reading. It's really nice to have you back on the show, man.
Well, thank you for having me. Wait, I'm confused as the Peter Jackson thing. What did
okay,
I miss?
Okay. Well, here's the deal.
Well, for one thing, we have listeners in the chat who are saying that Riley and I need to do more Secrets of the Hobbit podcast
yes,
episode
coming
with Bobby
soon.
Roderick.
Well,
so that was part of it.
Here's the deal. Mm-hmm. Is that yesterday I found myself presented with a major decision.
Mm.
The quote unquote "I'm your father" moment of Star Wars Episode 7 had leaked online, courtesy of the fine folks at Making Star Wars. And I was like, do I to click or not to click? That is the question.
Well, yeah. And the way that it was being promoted on the internet made that question a lot harder than normal. Like if they had just said major twist in Star Wars Episode 7 or possible, you know, blow up moment in Star Wars Episode 7, something along those lines, people might be a little less inclined to click. Like, oh, it's big. I don't want to know a big thing. You use the phrase, "I am your father," and you're going to get people clicking on the thing that otherwise might not want to click on that thing. Cause that phrase is like, it's like when you hit, when you hit someone's knee with a rubber mallet, that's basically what?
Well, and so here, I'll set the stage here. I made the Peter Jackson decision in that I absolutely love the Hobbit films and Lord of the Rings films. And also I knew exactly what was going to happen in every single one. And I'm like, can I? The question was presented, will I still, as a Star Wars fan, enjoy seeing Star Wars Episode 7 in theaters as much without spoiling, with major spoilers or without major spoilers? And the answer to that question is probably not. I may not, there's an aspect of the film that I won't enjoy as much. But there's a second half to that question, and is how much fun is it just to speculate and have those conversations leading into the film with the part of the Star Wars community that does like spoilers? So this is your warning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the panic button. It's time to make this happen. Let's do this. That's your warning, ladies and gentlemen. Thusly, having played the appropriate panic button, you have been warned. It is spoiler time. Bobby Roberts, what in the Carillion Nine Hells is going on in the Star Wars world this week?
Oh, man. What's happening this week is that we have reached the red line. I know you guys are fans of Battlestar Galactica, yes?
Yes.
We have gone far beyond the red line, Nuggets. Far beyond the red line. And we all knew that this was going to be a day that was going to come eventually. Like, we're all sort of hungry for news about Star Wars in our own ways. But there was always going to be that one story that we heard about that was going to cause people to reevaluate just how much they actually want to know before they head into the theater. And there's no wrong way to sort of build your own anticipation to see a movie. There really isn't. Like, some people don't want to know anything. Some people are cool with, you know, I'll read a magazine article and watch the trailer. Some people are like, I'm going to record every commercial and then try to piece them together in chronological order on my copy of Final Cut Pro. And some people are just like, every single spoiler that has possibly hit the internet, please feed it directly into my eyeballs like a clockwork orange. There's a wide spectrum of ways to anticipate Episode 7. But there was always going to be that one story that hit where people had to go, all right, how down am I?
Yeah.
And that's what just happened. Now, Riley, you made the decision to go whole hog. You have decided to swim in the deep end with me and my water wings.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. It was that hovering on the ledge, and I was like, well, time to jump off the diving board, just because you have to, at some point, you have to make the decision, because I'm just thinking about the position I am as a person who podcasts about Star Wars. Mm-hmm. The likelihood, like just the pure mathematical and statistical likelihood of me hearing a major spoiler for the film, even if I do my damnedest to never hear a thing, like, and let nothing happen. Mm-hmm. The likelihood's still very high. So in some ways, I kind of think that while I do personally think I'd enjoy Star Wars Episode 7 better going into it completely clean, mm-hmm. I think I'll enjoy the experience of digesting and talking about all the rumors going into it more than that. That kind of outweighs it. So for me, it's not even a matter of saying, well, I think spoilers don't ruin a movie. I actually do think that it does at least change and maybe harm the experience. But no, you're right. I have jumped in the deep end, sir.
Well, and the question too is, if your extreme is completely and totally spoiler free, or you might as well just be spoiled to everything, then you have to question, are you willing to give up podcasting and doing a Star Wars site for it? And the answer to that is no.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you, Bethany, are you as deep in the waters as Riley is, or are you just sort of resigned to the fact that you are going to be getting spoiled regardless of whether you really want to or not?
I am resigned to the fact that I'm going to be spoiled. I mean, even for other TV shows that I do not do podcasts on and I do not do websites on, I have, mm-hmm. even though I've tried really hard to avoid spoilers.
Can we do the Game of Thrones thing real quick?
Yeah, we can.
You know who's spoiled? Okay. I guess we are in like this. This is bombs dropping panic zone. So Game of Thrones, exactly. Game of Thrones fans who aren't caught up, jump out at the Red Wedding.
Shame on you.
But Bethany, I watched the episode of the Red Wedding
There it is.
The day before. And yeah, I was like, Bethany, you need to watch it. You need to watch it. And Bethany's like, yeah, no, I'm going to get around to it. I'm busy. I'm going to do it like tomorrow. And then Macy Williams Vine comes across your Facebook feed. And you're like, ooh, what's this? It's Macy Williams.
Oh, it's the cute little girl from Game of Thrones. Of course I will click on her video.
Like, no.
Despite and the fact that, of course, the video spoiled all of it.
In 6 seconds.
In 6 seconds.
Oh, mummer.
Yeah.
You got to delay that.
Yeah, no, she did it with really cute faces, too, and funny voices. So, I mean, you sort of had to appreciate. It's better than actually showing the clips from the show itself, which is how a lot of people got spoiled that night. Like, it aired on the East Coast, and there were people on the West Coast who hadn't learned by then not to be on Twitter when Game of Thrones night
is in
full swing. And so they were like, oh, it's 8 o'clock over here at Pacific Standard. I don't, maybe I'll check Twitter, see if anything interesting is going on. Oh, my God! And it's just knives, knives, knives. Maisie Williams, at least, was like, my mom's dead, my brother's dead, oh, no. And you could at least giggle at how she was being.
It was pretty funny. Yep. It was pretty funny. No.
It was pretty funny. And my reaction, I'll admit, was pretty funny, too.
Well, and here's the thing.
What was your reaction?
Well, my mouth dropped open. And then I was just like, no, across the house. And Riley walked to my room. And he was like, you found out, didn't you? Somehow you found out. And I was like, yes. Yes, yeah. I did.
Well, I remember this happening with Clone Wars, too, but not to a lesser extent.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, that said, I mean, in an ideal world, I would not be spoiled for any major plot developments in Episode 7. However, I do not live in that ideal world because I do actually like being on the internet. And not only that, I like doing the Star Wars Report website and podcast, which means I am way, way more likely to get spoiled. You know, I'm not just going to stop following all of my Star Wars friends in the lead up to every movie.
Yeah. See, for me, part of the reason Full of Sith just launched, and by launched, I knocked together in my studio a spinoff episode called Rumor Control. And I used to do a segment on Full of Sith called Rumor Control back when the rumors were things like, who is going to be in the movie?
Yeah.
Is there the name of a movie? You know, that sort of stuff. But it's because of this rumor that I was talking about, that red line that we've all jumped far beyond, I decided to distill it into its own podcast precisely because I know both Mike and Brian and Amy do not want to follow me into the deep end. And so I was like, if there's a way to sort of put a fence up around the spoilers, and I am on the other side of the fence, to use another television show, another bit of pop culture, if I can be Michonne with the katanas and the two zombies chained to my shoulders on the wrong side of the fence so that everyone on the other side in the prison can feel somewhat safe, I'm going to go ahead and do that. And so that's kind of what I did with Rumor Control, which is up now in the Full of Sith feed. It's like, if you are into spoilers and you definitely know that you are going to be spoiled going into Episode 7, come listen to this show and we can talk about the spoilers over here so we don't accidentally infect a whole bunch of people who don't want to know anything else.
Yeah.
Which is kind of that's the dance that we're going to have to start doing now. This rumor that just came out on Wednesday, thanks to makingstarwars.net, that rumor essentially rang the bell. Dinged the triangle, started the call, don't end up having their Star Wars 7 experience ruined or marred in a way that they aren't expecting.
Indeed.
See, and I'm weird because, like, I have to not do any spoilers as much as I can all the way up to it, because if I get the spoiler, I'm going to tell other people. I have to share what I love, and my mom and my sister hate me for that to no end. But when I think about, you know, when I get to Episode 3, you know, a month before Episode 3, the book came out, and I got it, and I read it, and oh my God, I love the movie so much more because of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, if that comes out in November of 2015, I don't think I can hold myself back. I think at that point, it's like, okay, we're in. But until then, I'm kind of like, every time, even though I end up eventually actually looking at a lot of the spoilers, I'm trying desperately not to, but I know, I'm like Bethany, I know it's inevitable. There's no Episode 7 photos. I get people that are like, hey man, spoiler. I'm like, dude, it's an aerial of an X-Wing. Like, if you didn't know X-Wings and the Millennium Falcon were going to be in this movie, I don't know. Are you really that much of a fan of Star Wars? I mean,
I mean, it's, and this is what the segment is that we're going to, when these huge bits drop, we're going to save it for the latter half of the show and play my giant Jar Jar Binks, you know, panic button and invite Bobby Roberts on to tell us all about it. So
I got to follow up Jar Jar. You actually have a Jar Jar panic button I got
to
follow up?
Oh, yeah. You'll have to jump back to the episode. You'll hear it. It's, the Jar Jar panic button.
I can do my own panic button if you... Oh, no. This is going to be spoilers. Get out. Run.
Actually, there's the new panic button. By the way, I'm just going to isolate that bit of audio right there.
Oh, no. Spoilers. Or whatever he says. I don't know.
Close enough. But so this making... So let's hit the meat. What's the deal with this making Star Wars piece?
Well, it's hard to talk about because... And it's something I mentioned on that Rumor Control episode that I did. Even when we do get news... It's kind of a weird bit of math that we have to do because it seems like there's been a lot of stuff that's come out. And when you accumulate and you pack together all that stuff into one solid chunk, it seems like it's maybe, if we're lucky, 10% of the movie. And that there's 90% of the movie that we're missing to provide context to that 10%. So it sounds like sometimes things don't make sense, especially since the 10% of the movie we seem to know seems to center on like the first 15 minutes of the film. And the last five. And the last five come from this making Star Wars rumor, which suggests that Luke Skywalker could be the bad guy. Now, before we get into why or how that could possibly be based on the rumor itself being based somewhat on speculation, based on looking at pieces of production art that are over a year old now, I want to ask you guys, how do you feel about the possibility that Luke Skywalker, when we finally do see him in like the last two reels, do we even call them reels in film anymore? Whatever. The last, 20, 25 minutes of film isn't necessarily going to be a beacon of wisdom and kindly guidance to our heroes, but might be a weird, prickly old person who is maybe closer to the 12th Doctor than, say, Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man. It's almost a kind of a delicious idea to me, because if executed well, I think it could be one of the best moments in Star Wars storytelling that we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So I'm in. I think with the creative team behind this, I think that could be done brilliantly. So I'm in. I'm sold.
Bethany, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. See, Luke Skywalker has been one of my favorite characters in Star Wars for a long time, especially with everything that I read in Legends. The character of Luke just kind of, it clicked for me. And I'm wondering about all of the Star Wars fans who Luke is their favorite character. Luke is who they grew up with. Luke is the person that they look up to. And Luke is the person that they read the books for. Mm-hmm. And essentially, the Skywalkers are their characters. The Skywalkers are their Star Wars. And you have Luke, who is this iconic good guy figure, and Anakin, who, yes, he did turn to the dark side, but the end story of Anakin Skywalker is that he was redeemed. And it changes the storytelling dynamic in Star Wars so much to have, instead of having the fall and then redemption of Anakin Skywalker, and his son carries it on to become, a great Jedi and someone who saves the galaxy from evil. And then if he falls to the dark side, it will so radically change the Star Wars storytelling landscape.
Yeah, like this is how it occurs to me. And again, I'm going to make just another pop culture reference just as a means to sort of easily more make the comparison. Everyone thought that Luke Skywalker was going to come out of Return of the Jedi and end up being a teacher, end up being someone. Why? And we had so much expanded universe that sort of built on that notion. And it seems like this rumor is suggesting that best case scenario, not worst case, but best case scenario, Luke Skywalker ends up closer to Haymitch Abernathy from The Hunger Games. That's like the best case scenario of this. Yeah. The worst case is that he straight up is doing Vader cosplay. Like, he has actually become his father, because the suggestion from the Making Star Wars Net rumor initially, they tracked back on it a day afterwards when the internet was like, how dare you tell people this spoiler? What's wrong with you? The initial rumor was that the cyborg character that we've been hearing is going to be in episode 7, one of the main bad guys, was probably going to be Adam Driver. And Adam Driver or this some mysterious other was going to be, you know, augmented by robotics that have a glowing red eye and they'd be sort of Vader-esque. They have a weird obsession with Darth Vader. And the suggestion for Making Star Wars Net that really freaked everybody out was that this character would in fact be Luke. And that's the worst case. Best case is that Luke is just some sort of burnout on an Irish island somewhere who would rather be left alone and has decent reasons for being left alone. Mm-hmm. Worst case is that Luke has been engineering the entire conflict that everyone is in during episode 7. And a lot of people are having problems, you know, reconciling that. And I think largely because even if we get the worst case scenario, we don't actually have any context as to how that could possibly fit. That doesn't, just because Luke might end up in a certain place at the end of episode 7 doesn't mean we won't understand why he ends up in that place if the storytelling is correct when we're watching the movie.
Yeah.
How much is he actually filming over there? Because hasn't he been in London for a while? I mean, if this is only going to happen the last 5 minutes, it seems like, what are they doing? Hey, Hamill, we need you to kind of camp out in this room and pretend you're going to work every day. Like, that seems a little weird. But I'm with Riley on this. I mean, I like the concept of it. I mean, we were talking about this earlier, you know, when Luke goes down into the cave on Dagobah, Yoda tells him at one point, you know, once you start down the dark path forever, it'll dominate your life. Then in Return of the Jedi, strike me down with your anger and, yes, give in to your hatred. You know, I mean, Luke did that step. When you read the novelizations, they talk about embracing it in that moment. Mm-hmm. But there's also another argument I get into with people about, you know, is Luke also part of the Chosen One? You know, one of the things I always loved about Legends was the concept that the Chosen One bloodline, that those people were always in that position. So to see in that regard, you know, like Luke wasn't the Chosen One, Anakin was, but without Luke, you couldn't have had what Anakin was able to do. So in a sense, they were always chosen. That's how I always looked at it. Mm-hmm. So to see Luke actually fall in that regards and mirror his father, that opens up a world of awesomeness and story potential. I mean, I'm down for that. But I can't wrap my head around that. Well, why would you have Hamill there doing all this stuff if he's only there for the last 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. Well, unless they were doing something where, like, he's showing up as a hologram looking like himself. And then in the end, you find out that somewhere along the line, he got horribly fracked up. And you're just like, whoa. That would be cool too.
Yeah, I mean, like, and you brought up the cave in Dagobah, and that goes to the sort of backtracking that happened the day after this rumor hit. And I'm using backtracking, that's probably not the correct word, because that sort of insinuates that the people at MakingStarWars.net were like, oh, we gotta fix this. We made people mad. We didn't know we were going to make people mad. We got to come up with something to appease them. And I don't think that's necessarily what they're doing. So backtracking is probably the wrong word to use there. But they sort of clarified their initial rumor to suggest that maybe Luke is a robot in some case, or he's some sort of malignant cyborg, but we only see him as a malignant cyborg in a vision. And so the possibility is that, and it's a nice way to hedge bets, really, honestly.
Yeah.
The possibility is that we could still see bearded Luke Skywalker, who we're expecting to see, because Mark Hamill's over there with one of those Sons of Anarchy beards just dripping off of his face.
Yes, he is.
So we know he's got that beard and we're expecting to see it, but we could also see this weird bald, someone force sensitive is having it, and it's going to either mislead them or send them down a path that leads to the finale of episode 7 that we're going to get. And either way, regardless of whether Luke is in Jedi robes and a full beard, maybe a little grayer than we're expecting, or Luke is wearing black with bits of robot stuck to him, the ending of episode 7 is rumored to not be a very happy one. It's mm-hmm. It's supposed to be sort of Empire Strikes Back-esque in that it doesn't quite end with a cliffhanger, but it does end making you go, I need episode 8 now. So either way, we're probably going to get left wanting just a little bit. at the end of episode 7, and not necessarily in the most happiest of ways. But whether or not that has everything to do with Luke being the bad guy or Luke just doing something bad as a good guy seems to be what's up in the air. Because what we heard based partially on what someone has said second and third hand and partially on personal speculation based on looking at pieces of production art.
Yeah.
Well, you just said, though, kind of brings up Legacy of the Force to me in a lot of ways, because, you know, the vision aspect, instead of it being Jason, you know, the man with no face or no name or whatever he was, and eventually it became Jason, you would swap out Luke, which you also got Luke with a beard, which Luke was in a beard. I could see little hints of that. That is one aspect of the whole division there that I enjoy. I like the little nods to things. I could see that happening.
Yeah, for
Beth,
me,
what were you going to say?
Yeah, for me, Bobby, I really like how you point out that there is a common thread in the Luke rumors, and that is that very few of these rumors are positive in the sense that, oh, he's the amazing star of the film and an Obi-Wan wise and good Jedi type. We've heard almost none of that, really. And yeah, mm-hmm. he's got the Obi-Wan like beard, but as Jason Ward points out on the Making Star Wars post, that beard does keep changing. So it's not.
That's kind of the more conspiracy side of things.
That's the more conspiracy side, but it's true. I mean, I've seen the pictures of Mark Hamill where
I saw that scraggly thing in person at Star Wars weekends, and I'm not convinced. No, actually.
Yeah,
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
I think it would make.
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to peddle drugs across the border for the Sam Crow Club.
Oh, goodness. But
but the beard thing I do want to address, because I thought that was a weird little bit of justification for his speculative leap over at MakingStarWars.net. And for me, I'm like, the beard is probably getting longer and the hair is probably staying longer because it's easier for production to trim things back to how they looked on the day he shot if they need him for reshoots. That just seems to make logical sense.
Well, folks are wrapping up right about now, right? Wasn't it? There was a piece recently that Oscar Isaac's role had just recently wrapped shooting.
Yeah, so people are starting to wrap shooting. They're going to start piecing things together if they're not already piecing things together in the edit. And it's inevitable that while they're building the edit, they're going to realize that they need to go back and get different shots or maybe even rewrite a scene entirely and go back and reshoot those scenes. They have a set amount of time in the schedule built in for reshoots. If Mark Hamill's hair is still growing and that's a concern for you, I would imagine it's just that he's letting his hair grow for one of two reasons. One, it's easier to match what he looked like in the original principal shooting if people can just trim back the beard and trim back the hair to what it looked like at photos. Or B, he just likes being scruffy. It could just be that simple. To me, I mean, if I can Gordian knot something, I'll try and just bring that sword down through the knot. And for me, it's like, I don't think they're saying grow your beard longer so people have no idea that you're going to be a malignant android person who has the dark side flowing through his circuitry. I think it's like, well, just go ahead and keep growing your beard, keep hair on your face because we might need you in 2 months for reshoots. That's
scruffy nerf herder.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess just kind of jumping back to the rumor itself, my general thoughts are just from this is just Riley's personal interpretation of the rumor. If you're going to go dark side Luke, or if you're going to go for a dark ending, an Empire Strikes Back or Attack of the Clones-esque ending for episode 7, jump in all the way and go dark side. Because if it's like, oh, if Luke is essentially
the Haymitch.
Yeah, he just messes up and makes a few mistakes and thus royally screws everything up for our heroes and they have to fix everything. That kind of, I don't think that would ring true or as powerful as a full dark side twist.
Well, and for me, I think the scenario that I seem to be clinging on to, well, not maybe not clinging on to, but the one that sort of resonates the most with me.
Desperately clutching. Okay,
yeah. is that, and it's the idea that he went away for a reason. And it's because on some level he's decided that following in the old Jedi footsteps didn't obviously work. And just rebuilding that same order might not possibly work because it's no guarantee he will know what he's doing either. And so I sort of like the idea that he goes away for a reason. He feels that it is better for the galaxy if he and his knowings of the Force are not involved. And when they go to him for help, he's like, all right, I'm going to get involved. You might not like how I do it. Yeah. And he purposely chooses to act in a way that shocks the rest of us because it doesn't seem like Luke. And that to me sort of is a little more resonant than the idea that he just goes full bad guy and he's trying to do bad things. And what I sort of like about this rumor coming out that has everyone going, oh God, Luke is going to be Vader 2.0, is that if you hear it, whether you sought it out or not, if you hear it, it starts to work on you and you can have your negative feelings towards it. You can sort of see the glimmer of potential in the storytelling ideas. And then from there, you start to immediately back away from it in a way that gives you a little bit better perspective. I think there's going to be an unexpected upside to people hearing that Luke Skywalker might end up being an evil cyborg in Episode 7, because if it turns out what we actually get in Episode 7 is just a grumpy old man who uses total overkill to handle a problem that he didn't want to handle in the first place, that's going to end up feeling a lot more like Luke than it would have without being spoiled.
Yeah, that's true. And to me, I think you and Riley and Mark are all right about this. Could be a very good storytelling device. This could make for a very good film and a very good set of films. And it really could develop the character of Luke Skywalker too. I mean, he did have a dark turn in Legends as well. So, you know, while definitely poor Nancy over at Tosche Station.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was thinking
about
that.
And even me are a little like, no, Luke. Luke is the good guy. Luke is the Luke that I'm used to. While there is that element, he did take a dark turn in some of the Legends books, especially the early ones. So it's not, and I think it worked well in those books. I don't think they committed to it, like Riley said.
Dark Empire.
Yeah.
Yes, my father's fate will be my own.
But
I'm with you, Bethany. I'm a big Luke in Legends fan, but I think, you know, again, I go that Defender of the E-Red. I think what it will do is it'll create fans like you and Nancy that are kind of like, no, that's not my Luke. And they'll have more people going, we need Legends to continue, please. We need that Luke. I'm excited about all those potential new backstories and stuff. But if it did go in a way that changed a character like Luke that I fundamentally love, that is the reason why I followed that end of the EU. It was Luke's story. I always liked current Luke. And if that changed that much, if Legends never continued, I would be definitely heartbroken in that regard, because I've clung to that character and followed everything he's done. And that journey that's been my journey. So, you know, the one upside there is there may be more fans that are demanding it. I mean, I know when I go to a lot of these websites, hey, what do you think if this happened? All you see is give us Legends, give us more Legends, give us more Legends. Like, okay, there are other fans like me out there that want to see Legends continue as well as this. And I think that in that regard, if they made it so different that maybe more people would be like, you know, I like this, but I still want my old stuff too.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Mark. And that could make for a more interesting parallel universe if they want to go that way. But for me, I guess the one big concern that I have is that Star Wars is such a classic story. Star Wars is 30 years of good versus evil, and good can triumph in the end. And it's the story of the redemption of Anakin Skywalker. And I would really want to see it handled well, that sort of that element of storytelling, that particular trope, would continue to be true even if it turned really dark for a movie or even several movies. But I would want to see, I don't want Star Wars to end as a tragedy, because I think that would fundamentally change the whole franchise. I mean, that has shaped so many people's lives. It's shaped their viewpoints. It has shaped people's morals. And so to see that change fundamentally, I think would probably upset me somewhat. I can definitely see it turning really dark, really hopeless, but to end that way, I guess, is the one thing I'm concerned about.
Well, I got a question really quick because you just made me think of it. If that was the case and Luke does go bad, what does that change for Anakin's sacrifice? I mean, I know like there are people out there that are like, oh, if the Sith show up at all, then everything Vader's done is pointless. Vader conquered the Sith. But I mean, if Luke falls, I mean, does that change our perspective of Anakin? Does it lessen his sacrifice and stuff? I mean, you know, his sacrifice was supposed to be getting rid of the evil for all time kind of thing. So does that change how he would look if Luke did fall?
For me, no.
I could see that, but when you're talking about the, are you gonna say something, Bobby?
Well, it was something that I actually touched on in Rumor Control one that I just put up. I don't think that it would nullify Anakin's sacrifice. I don't think it would nullify what Luke did triumphantly in Return of the Jedi. In the same way that I don't think Empire Strikes Back nullified Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and I also don't think, to speak to Bethany's point earlier, that there might be dark things happening. There might be something that, you know, could actually legitimately scare the hell out of a kid aged 8 to 14. I think those things are on the table for Star Wars Episode 7, but I don't think that Lucasfilm is looking to make Star Wars a tragedy. And again, this is getting back to the 10% versus 90% that I was talking about, that spoiler math that we're having to deal with here. It's entirely possible that most of the film is going to be really fun and somewhat lighthearted up until the end twists it on you and you get a real quick stab. You're like, oh no, but this fun time that I've been having, You're stepping on its feet real fast. I need to get to episode 8 so I can get some of that fun back. We got to fix what just went wrong here at the tail end. I think twists like that, twists like the idea that Luke might have gone bad or Luke at least did a bad thing for the right reasons, only work if the film that precedes it has gotten you to invest in the characters and gotten you to like the characters. And as we just saw with Guardians of the Galaxy this summer, the best way to get, you know, complete unknowns on your side as a viewer is to make those complete unknowns fun and funny.
Yeah.
And I got to imagine that J.J. Abrams is cognizant of that because he did that with Star Trek 09. Like, there's a lot of comedy in that movie. And you can say that movie's dark. I mean, Vulcan is imploded in that movie. He wipes an entire planet out in that movie, much like Star Wars gets rid of Alderaan. There are a lot of one-to-one parallels with Star Trek 2009 and Star Wars from 1977. Yeah. And yet both of those movies are overall considered and remembered as being really fun. And I got to imagine he's keeping that in mind when he's making episode 7. And even if we do get a more Empire Strikes Back-ish ending at the end of episode 7, I don't think the entire tenor of the sequel trilogy is going to tend towards tragedy. I think it's probably going to be something closer along the lines of maybe a smaller victory that's a little more hard fought and not as easily won. But I can't imagine we don't end up at the end of this 3-movie series with something that is closer in tone to a teddy bear disco than, you know, something that's sad and somber as Quiet Music Plays. We don't want like the end of the Ahsoka arc from Clone Wars. As beautiful as that end was, I don't see Lucasfilm deciding that that's the note they want to go out on with episode 9.
That's really my concern. It's not a huge concern, but it's one it's an inkling in the back of my mind of, oh, I hope they don't mess this up because it could be messed up. Because there is a level, especially in the past decade or so, there is a popularity in a heavy amount of cynicism in films, of turning films really dark, really tragic. And I know, like with the Marvel films and stuff like that, we've kind of seen almost like a reaction to that. But I guess for me, it's that ending tone. You know, if the end of the if the movie feels like Schindler's List to me, or even somewhat like The Dark Knight, then it won't feel as much Star Wars to me. And there is a place for those films, but I don't think it's the Star Wars mythos. And there's even a place for that in Star Wars, but not as the overarching main theme of the franchise.
Well, Bobby brought up the fact that the first two films could be dark, and I think that fits the pattern, you know.
The
original trilogy, while A New Hope wasn't that dark, it did set up the fact that the Empire was in control and that the Rebellion was a ragtag group. So, I mean, I still classify this as somewhat dark. Then you get to Empire Strikes Back, where it gets really heavy dark, in the aspect of what's going on for everybody. And then you have the last one where everything finally comes around at the very end.
Well,
but when
and
you
Mark
look at the original the prequel trilogy, it's, you know, lighthearted, but it ends with things about to kick off. And then the last one's the really dark one. So if you go forward and have it, you know, kick out and do the nice little, yay, Star Wars is back kind of ride, and then get really dark at the very end. And then go right into your Empire Strikes Back one, which is super dark, but do it kind of in a reverse order of what the prequel trilogy did. And then you can have that same thing where it all builds up and then boom, you have it. I wouldn't want to see when it ends, though, it to be like, okay, we had the big climax and here's 5 minutes. Like, I would rather see something maybe Lord of the Rings wise where it's like, here's the big climax and here's 24 more minutes or something like that.
Well, yeah, but or even like episode 3 was a really dark film, and it's the only Star Wars film thus far that's rated PG-13, and it ends with a lot of
tragedy.
That
changes.
I mean, the Jedi get pretty much wiped out, Anakin turns to Darth Vader, Padme dies, so many people we know and love as Star Wars characters die, and we see the Republic fall, and everything horrible happens, and yet the film ends with us seeing the note of A New Hope, because A New Hope is born. You see Leia, you see baby Luke, and that gives you the idea that there is hope still.
I think sometimes people paint the Star Wars films with a little bit too broad of a brush and just kind of go off that kind of general childlike memory of what they were. But I mean, if you think about A New Hope, you have Owen and Beru being burned alive and then Obi-Wan being killed by the main villain, and you have Princess Leia's planet being blown up. So for me, it's kind of about, or even Empire Strikes Back, which everyone thinks of as so dark, but you have pretty much all of C-3PO's dialogue and Han and Leia's interactions back and forth through the whole film have a very comedic, element to it. So for me, I think it's just kind of a good way of balancing it.
Mine!
That's Yoda from The Empire Strikes Back. That's one of his most quotable moments.
Yep.
A lot of people don't remember that. A lot of people don't call that to mind when they think of Yoda. But when I think of Yoda, one of my first memories is dude trying to steal a power bar from Luke and then hitting R2 in the face with a stick. Mine! 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 That was an Empire Strike. That's the dark one.
That tells you
so
much.
How do you get big eating food of this guy?
It took me a second to... for the quote to click. I was like, what on earth is Bobby doing? And it's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's the dark one. I'm quoting from the dark one.
Minor, I will help you not. Ooh, your father, powerful Jedi was he.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll go as far as to do like pull the, I just blanked on the name. What was the... It's not Thanos, but the lieutenant villain in Guardians of the Galaxy. I've only seen the movie 4 times.
Oh, Ronan?
Thank you, Ronan. It's late. I don't think they'll pull a Ronan like, what are you listening to? And it's like, I'm distracting you, you turd ball. You
know? Yeah.
or Turd Blossom, which by the way, Turd Blossom, probably best single line in the entire film.
Yeah.
But yeah,
did you guys know, here's a little bit of American history trivia for you. That was George W. Bush's nickname for Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld.
Really?
Not even kidding.
Wow.
George W. Bush, when they were having meetings about the security of America, would routinely refer to his Secretary of Defense as Turd Blossom.
Wow.
That's epic.
Oh, goodness.
That's pretty remarkable.
Well, you know, okay, Bobby, another thing that you mentioned that made me think of this one, I'm surprised we haven't got a rumor about a Force Ghost Yoda at this point. You know, season six of the Clone Wars. You know, and I've always, as a Legends fan, wondered, you know, why don't we see Yoda show up at some point, you know, down the road for a big thing? Like when the Yuuzhan Vong showed up during the New Jedi Order, I thought by unifying force, we were going to get a Yoda vision or something.
Yeah.
No, never got there. But what if Daisy's the one that gets the vision about Luke? Like, what if Luke's the big threat and so Yoda shows up to someone else to warn him about him? And he's like, I'm going to train you as a Jedi now. I mean,
I
would go nuts.
Yeah, from what I understand, the idea of Force Ghosts, I don't want to say it's been backburnered, but the only sort of rumor along those lines that I keep hearing has to do with Palpatine. And that the form that Palpatine might be taking, should that rumor pan out in episode 7, won't look like Palpatine. We'll know that it's Palpatine, but it's not going to be Ian McDiarmid. And so it seems like there are ways in which they're trying to sort of not just repurpose what you've come to know and understand as Star Wars and sort of twist it and remix it for their own storytelling purposes in episode 7, but they're also sort of trying to mess with your sensibilities. Like, okay, you're going to expect ghosts from the past to show up. It's a Star Wars movie. Someone's going to show up with a big blue glowy outline, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about instead, it's a bad guy. It's a bad guy and he's a bad ghost.
Ooh, here's one. The bad guy is like Voldemort and he latches on to a good guy and it's Luke. And when he turns around with his beard, you find out that the back of his head is Palpatine and he's all cyborg.
Actually, I would have Palpatine just sort of hide in the beard.
Little hand and eyes sticking out from his chin.
He pulls the beard open like a curtain on a movie screen. And
well,
Palpatine's angry face
the thing,
pops out.
Some of the themes of the rumor, and Bob, because you actually, I mean, as much as I keep up with it, I can't keep up with it as much as you're able. There's a lot of these different rumors seem to have like a theme with Vader's suit post Return of the Jedi. Like wasn't part of these concept art leaks, the idea of one of this villain or monster holding like the deformed and partially melted or damaged helmet of Darth Vader?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, one of the more persistent rumors is that whatever the cyborg's costume is going to look like, it's going to feature either parts constructed to make as much as to be as similar as possible to Darth Vader's costume, or it's going to actually be made out of broken parts of Darth Vader's costume. Because what? The idea is that whoever the bad guys are in this film, they have basically swiped the burnt suit of Vader off of the funeral pyre.
And wasn't that the rumor?
Was it a couple months ago that
there was the rumor of like going in and killing a bunch of Ewoks and Inquisitors, wasn't it, showing up and taking it?
Something along those lines. And again, it's hard to know how much of this is like just production art that J.J. Abrams told somebody, draw up this idea. I'm thinking about putting it in the movie. I want to see what it looks like before I decide whether or not I'm actually going to put it in. You know, they draw up the idea and he's like, I like part of this, but I've decided I'm going to do this. So draw up another thing for me. Since most of these rumors seem to be based solely on the production art, it's hard to know how much of this is just ideas that were being spitballed and they wanted to have a visual representation of it to decide whether or not they were going to go forward. Stuff that got discarded as soon as they saw it. They're like, nope, we don't want to go in that direction. Or stuff that is sort of hinting at the direction we're actually going to go, but we don't know what that direction is yet because none of these rumors seem to be based off of script leaks, lines of dialogue, you know, witnessing shooting on set. I mean, there are some rumors that are based on those sorts of things, but those are rumors like there's stormtroopers with flamethrowers in a forest. there's an X-wing on a tarmac somewhere, you know, those sorts of rumors.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to tell what's going to be happening. Speaking of rumors, you mentioned Boba Fett earlier, and I do want to completely sidebar away from episode 7 for a second.
Let's do it.
What did you guys think of that Boba Fett theory that went screaming around the internet last week?
Okay, wait,
the one where he's the one that disintegrated Owen and Beru?
Yeah.
I thought that was brilliant. I mean, other people poke holes in it, but I think that there's quite a bit of Imperial Stormtroopers are only so precise. That was brilliant.
If they did a spinoff film, I want a flashback, and I want that to be the reveal.
Well, I wanted to see what you guys thought, because most of the opposition to that theory seems to come from people who are very steeped in expanded universe. And they're like, no, this happens and this happens. And they've got an explanation for it that comes from this book. And I was like, but if you hadn't read the books and you just had that theory explained to you using nothing but the evidence from the films, wouldn't that seem like a pretty solid theory?
Yeah. That's how I'm looking at it. I mean, I go bar none Love and Legends all the way through, but I'm a big Marvel fan, so I can look at it as an alternate universe. It's like, yes, Legends gave us a version of that, but we're not talking Legends, we're talking those films, we're talking the Clone Wars, and everything's wide open. So I mean, yeah, I thought that was a great little twist, and it added to the whole when Vader's like, no disintegrations this time. It's like, you son of a, you know they were off limits.
You better get those droids up on the horizon.
To me, that makes for, like, it may not line up with some Legends material, but I have to point out again, this is Legends we're talking about. It's no longer canon. So that can make for some really fascinating stories. I mean, if you think about it, Luke Skywalker is out there with someone who murdered his parents, or well, aunt and uncle, but they really
close
were
enough.
His parents to him, and just he saw their burning corpses there.
That was scary as a kid, man. And I still like, I remember when I saw that, I was just like, what is that? Oh my gosh, is this cool?
I remember when I first watched A New Hope, I already knew a lot of the spoilers. Like, I knew Obi-Wan would die. I mean, at that point, I already knew that Leia was Luke's sister. I already knew so much about the story, like the Greedo shooting, and I'm trying to remember so much of the film I already knew, but I actually did not know about that scene. So that still is, when I watched the film, is kind of ingrained as like the most shocking moment when whatever I was, 11-year-old Riley, 12-year-old Riley saw A New Hope for the first time. Again, a year after seeing The Phantom Menace. So, yeah.
Wow. See, that scene and Yoda in Empire Strikes Back were the two ones that when I think back of the scary moments of Star Wars, man, when Yoda does that, you will be. I had nightmares about that for a little while. I did not like that puppet. I mean, yeah, he was cool. He was a cryptic old master, but he also had a little Crypt Keeper feel to him that just...
Oh, yeah. No, Yoda busted out the murder face on that line.
Yeah.
He got those little pointy teeth at the bottom that he's showing. Like, it really is sort of jutting his jaw out. Like, oh no, you will be.
Yeah, you're just thinking,
that's
threatening. Did this puppet file his teeth?
There's that one.
Oh. Well, I was thinking about that when they did the Blu-rays. I was like, if they were ever going to CG that scene, how could they make that work still? Yeah, because that was just a level of terror when I remember watching that as a little kid that I remember wishing that they had a skip button, you know. Mm-hmm. you wouldn't dare fast forward it because back then you couldn't get to play right away. But I remember just being like, I just want to skip this. I was like, can I cut it out of the movie? I don't want to see him like that.
I like the idea of your parents, if they were a little more opportunistic, threatening to have Angry Yoda come crawl out of the TV if you weren't good.
You know what? My parents weren't, but see, they didn't catch that. I had a whole ET thing that trumped that. So bad ET would come and get me, and they'd be like, we're going to send a message to bad ET. I'd be like, no, don't, anything with that. Yeah, it was bad.
Do your homework, Mark.
Yes.
Do your homework. Home.
Oh, this is so good.
Burn your heart out.
I still remember, you know, I've actually... Right, I've only seen ET once, and it was appropriately probably when I was 12 or so, and I saw it on cable television at my grandmother's house. But it's one of those moments where I just remember like moments. I probably need to go back and watch it again at some point. But
see, I watched it all out of context in the drive-in movie theater, sitting in the back, and it was like a double feature, and that was the second film. So I think it was like Black Cauldron maybe, and I fell asleep and then woke up and started watching it, but I didn't see or hear what was going on. I was just seeing it. And yeah, it did something because we went home and I slept in one of my grandma's rooms. It wasn't the regular one. And after that, I was like, that room's haunted. I never want to go back there. Because ET came down the hallway and the light was on and he was choking me. And then like I couldn't scream. And Elliot showed up and started beating on ET to get him off of me. Yeah, that was bad.
I love this side tangent.
Yeah,
I am laughing so hard at your misery. This is great.
I mean, if my parents would have only known I was scared of Yoda, I'm sure they would have done the same thing. Because yeah, I mean, even to this day, you mentioned bad ET, and I hear about it. Everyone hears about it because then my mom and even if my sister's around, they really get into it because it evolved into that bedroom being haunted in the family.
Man, we need like serial killer Yoda T-shirts.
Oh goodness.
Oh man. Well, I'll tell you what. I think we've kind of come to, I guess, the most that we're going to squeeze out of these rumors. But man, this is what was going to be like a segment on the second half of the show became the body of it. But you know what this conversation proves? It makes me happy with my decision because these are the kinds of conversations that we can have for the next 440 days until the release of Star Wars Episode 7.
Well, and the best way I look at it with regards to being spoiled, and you guys were talking about it with the J.R.R. Tolkien thing and the Peter Jackson thing, is that when you're watching a movie, there are so many more things that can work on multiple levels, deeper levels, than the single level of just surprise.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have elevated the element of surprise to, I don't want to say the be-all, end-all, but it is absolutely the number one thing that they look to get out of a piece of entertainment that they are watching at a movie theater. And I find when you take the element of surprise away, And that's not to say that the element of surprise isn't, you know, appreciated. I like being surprised. There are movies that I don't spoil myself on. There are books that I don't know anything about. And when they surprise the hell out of me, that surprise really works. And I really enjoy those moments. But if you do take the element of surprise away, or the element of surprise is unfortunately taken away for you, there are still lots of things that can work in a movie and might even work a little bit better because you're not spending so much of the runtime asking, ooh, what's going to happen next? Ooh, what's going to happen next? You find yourself crawling into the minds of the characters more because you know what's going to happen next, but they don't. And you can go on the emotional journey with them, and it makes that emotional journey just a little bit deeper because you know how it's going to end. And so to the emotions on display, and it allows you to sort of pay attention to more of the film as opposed to how a lot of people watch movies, which is just very narrowly get me to the next plot point as fast as possible. I want to know what happens next. And again, that's a perfectly valid way to watch a movie. Mm-hmm. But I think if you end up being spoiled, or if you choose to spoil yourself, you can get just as much, if not a little bit more, out of a movie, so long as you've been spoiled or you spoiled yourself for the right reasons. Like watching the Lord of the Rings movies, if I hadn't read the books, I'm sure it would have been a completely different experience. I don't know if it would have been a better one. I think knowing how the story unfolds, knowing who those characters are, and knowing how they're supposed to play out, and then watching it happen, even in new and weird, twisted little ways in the film, knowing what beats were coming and watching how they hit them was more enjoyable to me than not knowing anything before I went in. For me, it's a lot, and I say this in that Rumor Control episode, it's not so much what happens, it's how it happens that ends up being more enjoyable for me. And I think that while Bethany and Mark might not necessarily want to have to go on that particular journey, there are at least some benefits at the end of that road where you're like, okay, I know everything that's going to happen when we go in here. But at least now there are different ways that I can come to appreciate what does happen, because you're a lot more focused on how it's happening as opposed to just what's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think about episode three again. You know, I knew what was coming. I did not listen to the soundtracks going in, but when we got to Order 66 and the music queued up, I knew it was coming. And as soon as that music hit me, I was just a river of tears all the way through that. And then when you get to Obi-Wan, you were my brother, Anakin. I was just like, I was racking sobs. My wife was hiding me, you know, because that was that embarrassing. You know, I'm like, it's my birthday. I can cry if I want to. Yeah. I mean, it was. So I got away with that kind of. But yeah, I mean, you don't know how it's going to be presented. You don't know what the soundtrack's necessarily going to be. You know, you may have listened to it beforehand and got some things like Qui-Gon's noble end. But I wasn't doing that, so I had no clue. And that those music, man, when it gets you, or I'm just one of those that I love scores. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. And a movie that plays a score well into the action and stuff, they know what they're doing, and their precision is right to my heart. My brain clicks with it, and I'm there with my ears. And you've got me on this magical ride of the bass and the horns and the drums. And yeah, that you can never expect to come. And when I gab, it grabs you.
No, it's a good point. And I feel good about this decision. And I think some of the best conversations, like the one we just had about what it was like to experience, you know, seeing the death of Owen and Beru, and how that totally changed, you know, to see what it was like when Luke reacted to Obi-Wan's death. Mm-hmm. And these are the kinds of conversations that are born out of discussing these silly rumors. And so I think sometimes there's a little bit of a stigma with a lot of this stuff. I mean, frankly, won't come true, but I think it's a great way as Star Wars fans with new movies coming to have those kind of conversation starter points. And that's kind of what I aim to do on the podcast. We will always separate them out of the first segment and play our Jar Jar panic button for those of you who aren't interested. But those of you who've stuck around as long as you have and are still listening, we do appreciate it. And welcome to Under the Christmas Tree. I love the way you put it in the Rumor Control 1 episode. We're all kind of going down early in the night, all enjoying it first, but we got to be quiet and don't spoil it for everybody else who doesn't know what their presents are.
Well, and if I may add this as well, Riley and I did have the I Am Your Father moment spoiled for us.
That's true.
And there is a little bit of regret in me wishing that we could have seen the film without knowing that fact. Mm. But, I mean, look at us. It didn't make us any less Star Wars fans. It didn't make us not enjoy the film.
The person sitting behind a microphone recording an hour and 20 minutes into a Star Wars podcast. It's not exactly... Oh, man. So, well, folks, that's going to put this episode of the Star Wars Report in the books. Thank you so much for listening to this episode 147. It is in the can. A couple administrative notes before we head out. What you want to do is head over to starwarsreport.com/rumor control, the number one. That's all run together, and that's going to take you straight to Bobby Roberts' episode talking about this. And Bobby, I've listened to the episode. I know you just posted today. I don't think Bethany, you or Mark have had a chance. Go listen to it. You do such a great job of kind of putting in context and really more concisely breaking down this rumor and some of the ramifications there. So while we kind of approached this rumor from a more cerebral, theological Star Wars fan experience, what do we think? You really do a great job of kind of boiling down it to the nuts and bolts of what is this and what does it mean as we all gather beneath that Star Wars spoiler Christmas tree.
Yeah, and, thank you for that. Yeah, my idea was like, I'm going to go back to April of 2014 all the way up until this Making Star Wars Net rumor, and I'm going to see if I can get it all done in under a half hour.
Nice. And
I did it. Awesome. I even had time to sort of pontificate and bloviate with my own little opinions as well. So I figured out a way to sort of economize your spoiler experience if you want to have that spoiler experience. So
there you go. Yeah.
Thank you for that, man.
No, sure. And again, that URL is starwarsreport.com/rumor control, the number one. And that way it makes it. I like to make things easy because you're out here there. You're driving on your way to commute. You don't need to be typing up into your browser that stuff. But it's easy just to forget those kinds of things. But whenever folks are doing awesome work, I like to plug it and make sure it's an easy to remember one. So there you go. A couple links that you want to hit up at StarWarsReport.com for future episodes. Make sure you subscribe to our mailing list. I'm sending out some stuff this week, actually. So that's StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. And of course, if you enjoyed the show, please rate and review iTunes. Also Stitcher. I was looking at some of our stats last week, and there's a lot of you guys who are tuning in on Stitcher, which is awesome. So leave us some reviews and ratings on that platform as well. Stay tuned. If you want to send us an email, like we read all of those emails at the beginning of the show, it's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. Again, that's StarWarsReport@gmail.com. It's Facebook/StarWarsReport, Twitter/StarWarsReport, and Bethany and I are personal accounts where we document our lives as crazy busy college students and ROTC cadets and active community citizens. That's all at twitter.com/TheRileyGuy and twitter.com/BethanyLBlanton. Username's exactly the same for our Instagram accounts. Bobby, you want to plug away your social media?
Oh, yeah. Basically, just find me at Bobby Roberts PDX, BobbyRoberts PDX. And then from there, it is a virtual cornucopia of links, clicks, when you were a little kid and you realized that olives can replace your fingernails.
Olive fingers! No!
That's basically me on the internet, but with podcasts.
Oh, follow him. Follow the man, Bobby Roberts. And Mark, you are on social media as well?
That's right, Illogical Rogue 2 on Twitter, and I'm myself on Facebook, sharing usually my scout stuff and family stuff. And oh, look, Jana likes her Star Wars pillow with the Yoda out, not the Vader. Occasionally, I'll share it with us here on this fine podcast and podcast network at the 2nd Airborne Division, which I also have Star Wars Beyond the Films with Nathan P. Butler, and we have Rebels Roundtable, which I have not yet been on one of the new episodes discussing that great new show, but they have, and that's coming soon.
Wait, hold on. Time out. I'm going to call time out real quick.
Uh-oh.
Nathan P. Butler?
Yes, sir.
Did he do a bunch of Star Wars audio stuff back in the early days of the Wild Wild West?
And yes, still he did. An active member of us here on the network.
I've been on a show with Nathan P. Butler before. Back in the
Butler-niverse?
I don't know if it was the Butler. I might have been even earlier than that, but I swear.
Chrono Radio?
Oh, that might be it.
That would be it. Yeah.
My goodness.
Nice. Yep, that's my man.
The Star Wars fandom is so small and so expansive in all the same time. If he remembers me, everything he remembers is accurate, and I apologize so profusely for all of it.
Yeah, he's the same one that wrote the Star Wars tale number 21 with the Vong and Kyle Cartan, the little comic and tales.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry, Nathan. I'm really sorry. I was not the same person then. I apologize.
Oh, it's a small world. Yeah, again, Star Wars Beyond the Films with Nathan Patrick Butler and Mark Hurlman can also, among many other podcasts such as Star Wars Bookworms, the Wampus Lair podcast, it's all part of our Second Airborne network at StarWarsReport.com. That's all for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. And remember, many Bothans died to make Bobby Roberts remember just how much of a changed fan he is.
Mine! Mine! Mine!
Oh, goodness.
And that's a wrap.
Well, now that the cloning cylinders aren't canon anymore, does that mean we can't clone our boxes? Oh, man, we need to get better security. Get them out of there!
I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to peddle drugs across the border for the Sam Crow Club.